And let's sing that I need thee, oh, I need thee. We'll turn the service over to Brother David. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. I need more. Father God, we just need you this morning, Lord. We need your Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, not do things in the flesh to satisfy and fulfill a message, but let the Spirit in us, Lord, fulfill everything. Lord, we pray so you may help us this morning. Give us strength this morning to go on with the service. It's everything into your hands, Lord. You control everything from before the foundation of the world. Keep us, we love you. Bless each one here. Bless the absent body, Lord. Keep each one of us, Lord, in your love and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Last week we start studying the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we have come to the point, and that's in Colossians. You remember we're studying in Colossians, the first chapter, from the 12th verse to the 20th verse. God's grace is so great. Don't forget, next Saturday is prayer in the evening for the communion service Sunday. And next Sunday is the day dedicated by the Christian world for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. If you can fast Saturday, it will help you tremendously. So pray and seek the Lord. And we have come to the point that God knows everything. And God, nothing happens unless He approves it. You say, Brother David, what about Satan? He's not permitted more to do anything else except what he's permitted. Sometimes our ways permit him to do things, and we blame God. But it's our ways that Satan has some time ruling over us. God foreknew everything before the foundation of the world. The last Wednesday I was rushing, but I'd like to go back to the book of Luke for a minute. The book of Luke, the 11th chapter, starting from the 49th verse, listen to this very close. Truly to bear witness, therefore also said, the wisdom of God, remember, you speak about the wisdom of God now. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute it, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. This is a mystery, isn't it? To send prophets and apostles, and to know, the 50th verse, instead of said that the blood is, the 50th verse in the Greek says, so that the blood of the prophets, in other words, the reason that God sent these prophets and permitted to be persecuted and be killed. Think of this. And the reason is that was done when? He says, which was shed from the foundation of the world. God foreknew everything, and the world may be required of this generation. Every little baby that was killed at the martyrdom, every man, every prophet, every man of God, every Christian, God permitted it. You say, Brother David, they suffer. God looks eternity. We look just 5 years, 10 years, or nothing. God looks eternity all the way on the other side. If you keep your eyes on eternity, your attitude changes. If you keep your eyes on a few years, everything is pain, everything is suffering, nothing is good. But God looks in the other side. When you look the Word of God to make statements like that, He says, so that the blood of the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, remember this, the blood of the prophets was shed from the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, God knew everything. Why? Maybe so that God may require, you know, this from the generation. And God will require this from this generation. You know that? There are some tricks, the religious tricks that we call them. And it's really perversion. The game of love, is if it's out of the world, the Word of God, it's not love. It's hypocrisy. You know that? People sometimes says, I'm not a judgmental person. I don't judge. I don't believe in anything judging. That's true, but I would like to know the line where you compromise the Word of God. That's what I want to know. You cannot compromise the Word of God without paying a price. The reason today we see all these churches around, and lots of multitudes, digging off any minister on these denominations or this church, one of them have enough backbone to stand up and say, whosoever Mary heard that's put away commit adultery, and adulterers and adulterers go to hell. Name one. They cannot do it. They cannot do it. Why? The pews will be empty. That's how much they got. The rest of it's lost. Now that's hard gospel, isn't it? But God is God. And that affects my own sister and the rest of them by what difference it makes. The truth is the truth. The Word of God is the Word of God. That's it. Now, some other things we don't want to accept, and I'd like to lead you today before we get to the three things. In a couple of things that probably some of you have read, some of you haven't read. And look with me for a minute to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, 4-5, and the 7th verse. God speaks here. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now you say, Brother David, that's strange. God creates evil. You go back for a minute in your Bible and study Isaiah 14:12. Where the scripture speaks, I'll be giving you also scriptures on the way. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning. You remember that? Falling from heaven, Lucifer, and so on. Why Lucifer? Because he weakened the nations. And you go back to the scriptures and say, what made Lucifer to do that? Where did he get that from? Was something in Lucifer, right? Or you might give an interpretation to say, God removed his spirit, so the judgment is there. You see, every little thing that you see, God permits it. God permits a person to say amen to justify themselves in the sermon sometimes, instead of amening God. You know this happens. But also look on Amos 3:6 for a minute with me, the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter in the 6th verse. Listen to what it says here. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord have not done it? Now you think about that. That's strange, isn't it? But in Colossians we read, our subject is Colossians 1, the 1st chapter, or the 16th verse, that by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Why? God wants to tell us that he's God. Look at the life of Moses. How do you like to be in his shoes? Go and see Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And God goes and hardens the heart of Pharaoh to say no. And God said to Moses, go back again and I'll do the same thing. God hardens the heart of Pharaoh to say no. You see, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the scripture says that, to say no. And he said no. Why? God wanted to show his power. How did he show his power? He wiped out Egypt, did he? Pharaoh's army was floating in the river. All of them died. The scripture says all of them died. Not one of them left. Can you imagine horses and chariots and everything? What was floating around the shores there? Judgment is already in this nation. This nation cannot return back. It's over. And the world, we are living in a time that these things happen. Now, some of you, I know, write scriptures, and I will give you 3-4 scriptures. In relation to that, God created evil. And when you go home, just read the scriptures, because we have to follow scriptures. Watch that. 1 Samuel 16:14. Psalms 105:25. Watch that verse here, Psalms 105:25, when you read it. Jeremiah 13:12-13, Acts 2:23, Acts 4:28, Romans 11:8, and 2 Thessalonians 2:11. You see, Brother David, what do you pick up this in the message? Now, if you go to the book, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, the first part, that's World Publications publication, dated July 28, 1963. Listen to the statement that Brother Branham made. Since we think this, since he's been made the head of all things to us, Colossians said so here, he He is the head of all things to us, for he was made for us, which we are considered all things. Listen now. You say, what about the sinner? That's the question. He says, he was made to be the judge of the sinner. If you don't accept it, he was made the glory for the believer who does accept it. Even the sinner, God looks at him. And unless God draws him, there's no way for him to go to God. We think sometimes we're going to save the world. You cannot save the world. You cannot do anything. God has to pull them. I learned this sometimes hurts my own loved ones. They look at you and says, but we are in another age. You see, the Bible, the people are in another generation. I says, I believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right or not? I says, Christ is the Word, that same Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see the types of the Old Testament being fulfilled in the New and prophesied by what's going to happen in the last days. But they cannot see it. The only thing I see, love, and don't judge anybody. Let the devil take over the church and don't judge anybody. That's the formula. But you know, judgment is coming. The people were screaming, but they will not find him. Don't think you can flip your fingers and find him. Unless God gives you the desire, you cannot have it. That's what God's Word tells us. Now, of the three things that we study, the three full purpose of the mystery of Revelation, the first one we read that God wants to reveal himself to his people. That's the desire of God. He wants to show who he is. And how do you know how he is? From his attributes. He created everything, and everything is moving according to his order. Nothing is out of order. Everything is according to what he wants to do. He wants to do. But you see, Brother David, the churches are falling. They have to fail. The whole system is failing. Oh, you see, what about the people of the message? Let me tell you this. I doubt if 2%, and I'll say, Lord, forgive me if I'm wrong. I doubt if 2% the Spirit in them fulfills the Word. The rest of it is the letter and the flesh try to fulfill it with quotes and so on, but the life is not there. That's take it or leave it. That's what I believe. So, you see, by fulfilling the Word, say, yes, that's what I'm going to do it. And we try to do it and we fail. We try to do it and we fail. And then if we fail in long enough, then the church compromises. And after the compromise, everybody compromises. Everything goes on. So now you start seeing that God wants to reveal himself, who God is. And if God is the same, Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, we're supposed to look at Christ and compare ourselves. We don't compare ourselves with one another. We don't. That's silly stuff. We compare ourselves with the Lord. That's our only place that we can compare ourselves. Because we live at the end, might as well approach some things the way they're supposed to be at the end and tell them how, the way that they are. That's what it is. Now, why? Because God reveals himself the second to have preeminence in his body of believers, which is the church. And Wednesday night, we discuss what's preeminence, and we define it that preeminence to have the superiority above all things. To be he, God, to have the preeminence, which we know that the word preeminence, God comes, and it's to be the first among all. Number two, to be superior. Number three, to excel above all things. And he's the firstborn among many brethren. And the last thing is to restore the kingdom to his right position, that is, like it was before the fall, that the time of Adam and Eve. If you read in that book, paragraph 101, and in the 89, 99, 91, from 90 to 100, you'll see the whole thing right there. When we start seeing now the Word of God, and we see this master plan of God that God speaks about, And he says, now I have done all these things before the foundation of the world. I believe in the secrecy of God. And when God keeps something secret, it's going to be secret. He can write it in his word, but unless God opens it and reveals it, you cannot see it. Look together with me first in Romans, the book of Romans, the last chapter, the 16th chapter, and the 25th verse. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What mystery? Singular tense. That's the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was kept secret since the world began. God had a master plan before the world was ever formed. You say, why he didn't stop Adam from sinning? Why he didn't stop Eve? Because the plan of God was like that, and you cannot question. That was the sovereignty of God. And when we see these things, we should be more privileged to realize how great things God has done for you and I. And says, Lord, thank you for it. Such a beautiful plan of salvation that you have made. Yes, but what about the rest of the world? I don't know. It's God's plan. That's what it is. I pray for them. I don't stop praying for them. But I'm thankful to the Lord that I can see the master plan of God. Now, you say, Brother David, what about these people that they are like that and so on? Now, you try to figure out one scripture and think that very hard. And the harder you think, the more I would like to know what you think about it. When Paul writes, and he said this, Cain was from the evil one. Cain was born from the evil one. You take these two powers, that's why you have a revival, have twins. In every revival, you have twins. You got Peter, you got Judas, right in the camp, the same time. Out of the same message, out of the same calling, out of the same everything, both of them preached the gospel, both of them identified with Christ. One of them, Jesus said, was the devil. And the other one, the preacher of Pentecost. Peter had many mistakes. He failed God many times. He cursed God. But God forgave him because he had the secret of repentance. Judas could not repent. Why? Because if you check there in the original text, it says metamelomen, no metanoo. Metamelomen, he changed his mind, he felt bad. Metanoo is true repentance, because repentance comes only from God and nowhere else. You cannot make a man to repent, because he cannot repent. He doesn't know how. God has to create the spirit of repentance in a man and a woman so they can repent before God. If God doesn't generate, you are wasting your time. Just keep on praying so God will fulfill that. You see, we take things in our hands and we say that, I'm going to do this. I pray and that man got saved. No person got saved. That man was before the foundation of the world. You were just the instrument God called them, responded to the calling of God, and responded to God, and God took them in his arms. That's all that it is. If it was you or a tape recorder praying or a drunk that printed proudly their Bible and he read it and got saved, doesn't make any difference. That was only an instrument. God saves, not man. And we think so often that I did this, I did that. We haven't done anything but a bunch of troublemakers. Now God takes this and he says, the mystery was kept secret since the world began. Nobody knows anything about it. Now, you say, Brother Dave, did you speak about it all the way through the Old Testament? What did he say about it at the time of Abraham? You remember when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac? And all of a sudden, God produces a ram there. I think it's Genesis 22. All of a sudden, God produces a ram right there, a male, type of the sacrifice. Where did this come from? And where it was that? He was locked in the bush. Why? He had no choice but to die for a sacrifice. Abraham makes a sacrifice. God answers to Abraham. He says, Jehovah Jireh. And he says, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. He says, because you have done this, in thy seed, what is the seed of faith? Singular tense. And Paul speaks on the Galatians that that seed is Christ. Here's the prophecy in Genesis 22. Here's the Paul speaking Galatians, the whole book just about wrapped up about Hagar and Sarah and the free woman and the bound woman, the two covenants and so on, all the way through down there. God spoke in the book of Psalms. He says, they pierced my hands with nails. Dogs have surrounded me. What about speaking to the Jews, that the Jews will be weeping, Zechariah? He says, they kill him. He says, they will cry and weep like the firstborn of a woman. Why? He says, what are the ones that pierce his hands with nails? I know about all these things, but God covered them. And God has to reveal it. God has to remove the veil. And God uses methods to do that. It's true that God can give you revelations, but in this age, God used a prophet to unveil certain things. And these things are not out of the Scripture. They're in the Scripture. That's why we're supposed to be looking at the Scriptures all the time. Right there. Everything is right there. We're coming to the end. True. I don't believe we're coming to the end. I believe we're at the end now. Period. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. Are you telling me now that Sodom was worse than we are? No. Not only will pollute the earth, will pollute the satellites with all pornography and everything. Will pollute the atmosphere with everything you can imagine. We pollute the home with the computers and everything else. Now the kids are watching everything you can imagine. Why we did it. We are worse than Sodom. We don't pollute only the earth, we pollute the atmosphere, the air. I'm not talking about smoke, I'm talking about filth. That's what I'm talking about. So at the end now, we see that in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, and the fifth verse, Paul is speaking Ephesians 3:5. He said this, which he says in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, was not made known, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God revealed to his apostles and prophets. You say, Brother David, what is a prophet? A prophet is an instrument that God used to foretell and interpret his word. So these prophets now and the apostles get the revelation of what it is. And when this was revealed to them, all of a sudden the veil was removed. And now we see the revelation in the epistles of what was fulfilled by Christ in the four Gospels. You see, Christ came down in the four Gospels. What happened? The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. That's that simple. All the way down to the end. And when we look at these things happening constantly today in our day, friends, there's nothing left. Remember, you say, now we're going to preach the gospel into all the world. The people go know, true. The world knows, the elected knows the gospel and they have responded. Now some people can be radical and say this or that. The people, I tell you what, I believe that a woman in the middle of the jungle, somewhere in India, somewhere in Africa or Pakistan or somewhere, God's Spirit can deal with her and kneel down and get saved without even knowing that the Bible exists. I believe that. Do you know that? I believe that. And that woman can live the holy life and nobody knows what for, but God knows because He's in her and is fulfilling His word every day. And nobody knows. And that woman can be ready for the rapture and the people can have all the books and the quotes that they want and they can miss it. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's not the gospel or the message in your mind that saves you. It's Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you that saves you. That salvation that we are talking about now, on Colossians and also in Romans 16:25, also appears, we are dealing with the book of Colossians now in the first chapter, or the 26th verse. even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Brother David, what is that mystery manifest to his saints? That's to whom God would make known what's the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now try for you to figure out, what does it mean, Christ in you? First of all, he's a dead man. But he's not dead. He's alive. Correct? Then the next thing you say, how you can put one man inside me? How you do? You have surgery and you take the parts and stick them in there? No, it's not. It's the Spirit of Christ. And what happened? That's in the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost at Calvary, that body was torn to two, like the covenant with Abraham and all the way through Isaiah and Jeremiah. God takes one piece, the body, sends the Spirit back into the church. That is the resurrected Spirit of Jesus Christ. One word against the Spirit, you are wiped out. I don't care how much you know the message. One word against it. Why? It's the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Take it or leave it, that's what it is. Now, God, in that mystery, that great thing that we are reading, the mystery, remember, I don't care who I am and who you are, comes only by revelation. You say, Brother David, is that so? Yes. You remember we read in Romans, the last chapter, a minute ago. What did we read there? Listen to this. Romans, the last chapter. Now, he says, the 16th chapter, the 25th verse. Now to him that's the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The mystery must be revealed in you. There's something in you. When you fail God, it grieves you. The rest of them try to take advantage of you. But remember, you be right with God and let them go. I don't care who they are. That's what you care, always. When you grieve God, get right with God, and the rest of them, I say this and this and do that. Just remember, you do what God tells you to do, and don't fail because you try to be a yes man to anybody else. You do what God tells you. That's what you do. But that mystery is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Which is what is Christ in you, the hope of glory. One word against that will never be forgiven. Why? It is Jesus in the believer redeeming his bride. You can say before the cross, the blood was not shed. You can say before the Holy Ghost came, remember, the sacrifice was given 50 days after, according to Levitical law, Christ had to send his Spirit back in the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. But when that Holy Ghost came, it came to the believers, and these believers, in Acts 2, they had the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother David, sometimes the people say this and that, the people, it's not good anymore, because they have not been called, that's all. It's how many have been called. If they are called, they are hungry for it. They say, I want it. This Spirit is given to your children, to them that's far off, as many as the Lord God call. That's it. So we have to be privileged people to be able to look and say, God call, and I'm so thankful to God because God called me. To do what? I can see that Christ in me. The people will say this and this and that about the Holy Ghost, but just remember, don't say one word. If you don't understand, walk out. Close your mouth. Walk out. Don't even need with them, the Scripture says. That's what it says. So now you say, well, if they can repent, I believe the blood of Jesus forgives us from all sin. You have to take the whole gospel. God cannot forgive them. You say, why? Number one, God has to give repentance. He has to break His word about the Holy Ghost before they can repent. Because they will never be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I don't remember the quote of the book very thoroughly. Brother Bram speaks about that in that book, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. And he refers to that very, very strongly about that. And I hope that you see here that God, in Romans 2, he says, the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Now, listen, John the Baptist called them snakes. Do you know that? John the Baptist called them snakes. Called them generation of vipers. And that's not the regular generation that you think, like a serpent. No, it's not. A generation is yenimata, who means you are begotten of serpents. He called them snakes. Absolutely the truth. Look at the scriptures. This is the hour supposed to talk about these things. Look with me for a minute. In Ephesians 3:3, what Paul is speaking about these things. Look at Ephesians 3. And the third verse. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words. How this mystery was made? By revelation. The mystery that Christ is in you. You know, you walk and there's a conviction in you and you don't understand. And you say, what happened? What is this? What's that? All these people, amen and everything, and I cannot amen. I'm miserable. It's the end. They're sitting around. If we knew today how a man and a woman are supposed to conduct themselves, would be a suicide case. Think of that. We think that things are loose, but God's word never changed. It's the same from the beginning to the end. Now we are living in a time that God at the end, I'm going to come to it very strongly. Remember, this sign was made to the Samaritan, was made to the Jew, but not to the Gentile. And what do you see when Brother Branham was reflecting the discernment? He says, Christ did the same thing, he said. What is it? Christ in me that's doing it. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see, I might have the same thing. No, you might have the spirit of conviction all the time. If you don't have the spirit of conviction, there's something wrong. They go on and on and on, the people. No repentance, no nothing. It's true, God has to give repentance. And if God doesn't give repentance, there's no way to gain or try to get repentance unless God gives it. Now, we know that that mystery comes by revelation. And it's revealed and manifested only to the prisoners of Jesus Christ. It is not a revelation that God showed me and I'm going to, everything is okay, laugh about it and talk about it. No, it has to be revealed only to the prisoners of Jesus Christ. Look Colossians 4:3 for a minute and you'll see it. These revelations have restrictions. Colossians 4:3. He says, praying also for us that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now God unveils to him his mysteries. He said, look, Paul, this and this and this and that. And Paul now, by that revelation that he received, he gives it to the rest of them. Why? That revelation came through apostles and prophets. When you go home, also read Ephesians 1:9 to 11. It's more explanatory back there. Now, the greatness of that mystery that God was manifested in flesh. As soon as we finish some of the things there we do, I will take very thoroughly each one of the threefold purpose, each one of the things. See, don't grieve the Spirit of God that's in you. You know, sometimes you do something wrong, God gives us repentance, right? The world might laugh about you. You might go to somebody to ask forgiveness and they laugh with you, this and this and that. Don't laugh with it. Leave them alone. They don't know what you're talking about. It's Christ in you that does it. The only thing you want to clear up yourself. If they accept the repentance, the repentance or not, it's irrelevant before God. God will forgive you. That's all. It's not in the conditions if somebody else forgives you or not. Not at all. Read the scriptures and you'll find out. So now the greatness of that mystery, that God was manifested in flesh, it's called a mystery. It's so great mystery that we cannot even conceive. Now, Christ can be inside in a man. How would you like to go out in the street and tell somebody, Christ dwells in me? But you know what? If that spirit that was in Christ dwells in the believer, it will act the same way that was acting with Christ's body, should be acting on my body and your body. That's hard, but that's true. If that same spirit make Jesus to say this and this and that, should make us say the same thing. And Jesus is the Word. Not even one comma to deviate from it. Stay with it. If it says so and you fail, it says, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to go on with you. That's all that counts. It's serious, the hour we're living. Listen for me. Look for a minute in 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul is speaking about that in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse. Listen to what he says. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All these things are contributing that you see. That mystery is contributing now. What? For the righteousness of the believer. We go to church. The gospel is preached. We are convicted. We look at the scripture. It's so. A true believer that Christ dwells in him, you know what he will do? Will drive him to do that and nothing else. God's fulfilling that in his life. I know that we're getting some doctoring things, but when you study Christ, the mystery of God revealed, you cannot get by with just everybody clap your hands. It's a serious subject. That's what we're studying. The final state of the mystery, the final state, whatever you might try to achieve, is Christ in you, not part of Christ, not this, not that, not in the mind I believe, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. If that same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, will raise your mortal body, wherever you are. If I drop dead right now, or whatever happens, that same Spirit dwells in me, dwells in you, will raise your mortal body. That's the hope of a believer. That's why you cannot explain to the people, revelation. God has to reveal it to them, and God reveals it not to groups, but to individuals. Groups are deceiving. The greatest church in the scriptures that you find was the Ephesians. The strongest doctrine of predestination is there. The strongest doctrine of war of the saints is right there in Ephesians 6, or fighting not with flesh and blood against spirits in heavenly places. That's where we're at today, in devils communicating with satellites in heavenly places. We're fighting today. And that church got 12 believers. Read the book of Acts and you'll find out how many there were there. Why? And the rest of them, don't judge anybody. Everybody's welcome. Do your thing. We don't judge anybody. As long as you do all right, don't worry about anything else. But what about the gospel? What about the Word of God? The Word of God must be preached. I was telling somebody the other day, a denominational person, oh, she said, must not judge. I said to that person, I said, look, can your pastor stand in the church and preach Matthew 5 Whosoever married her that's put away committed adultery. If he does that, the person said, it will be empty pews, as that's what you got. Absolutely. Absolutely, that's what you got. But we don't want to do that. So don't judge anybody. Everybody's all right. Just get by with murder. But God now expects to have vessels. I'm talking about go and sin no more. That's what I'm talking about. We have to practice go and sin no more. After you know the truth, walk in the truth. Go and sin no more. That's what the gospel said. That's what we preach. After the truth comes to you, and that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is one of the most important subjects in the whole scriptures there. When you return back to the 16th verse of the first chapter of Colossians, for by him, or through him, were all things created. Let your imagination go and dream about anything you want to. The scripture says all things were created. God is the creator. Satan is the perverter of the creation of God. He hybrids constantly. Constantly. I'm trying to get a hold of somebody said, a friend of mine that deals with in England, he might have been able to get a hold of me of a book of the Babylonian Talmud, because the Babylonian Talmud is as strong as the Talmud of Jeremiah. And one of the volumes dedicated not to hybrid any seed in the field. You know, the scripture teaches that, you know. Not to hybrid any seed. And when you start reading that, you realize that he created all things, but Satan perverts things. He hybrids them. We got oranges without seeds. We got tomatoes without seeds. We got wheat that's hybrid. We got everything you can imagine hybrid. Reader's Digest in 1956 wrote down about mankind with shorter shoulders and women with wider shoulders from the perversion. And the people said, now, where did cancer come from? Where all that stuff? Look what we eat. Look what you find in the canned food. You don't know how much food it is. You don't know what's the preservatives, and you don't know what the con does to it to be in the preservatives either. So you start eating, and you don't know what's happening. God created it. All things. Man today is the most destructive element that there is. Destroying himself, don't even know it. We destroy ourselves morally. We destroy ourselves spiritually. We destroy ourselves physically. We don't know what we breathe anymore. I can't forget when I was in Philippines, I saw a man and women driving the bicycles and they're wearing masks in the front of them from the smog. Here's an island that the wind blows and cleans it up so bad that they can't breathe anymore. They can't sleep at night. They have to wear masks to walk in the streets. What do you think we are today? We're killing ourselves and we don't know we're doing it. He created all things visible and whatever it is, their thrones or dominions. God knows everything. You don't elect the president, God permits him to be there. Just remember that. He says in the last days will be an Ahab there. It's citizen, it is an Ahab there. That's all that it is. He's just like Sodom, the same thing. And watch and see what's going to happen very soon. The people are sleeping, they don't realize. You know what? You look, things are pumping up, and it's not by accident. Look, there's a group of people up in Montana, and now they persecute them because they say they don't believe in this and this and that. Leave them alone. If that's what they believe, I mean, they don't fight anybody. They don't argue with anybody. If they have done against the law something bad, let's get them to the law to take care of them, okay? But that can create a persecution for the innocent later. This is only the bait. And everybody says, oh, I know this, I know the Montana people, I know down in Texas, I know this. Yes, let them have it. Everybody doesn't belong to our council will be persecuted. And the doors will close. And the freedom will be gone. What is it? Whatever they found might be totally legitimate, but it's publicly in the ears of the people in the newspapers and everything. So everybody knows. They have done wrong, and that's building up, preparing what? Building the foundation for persecution. The people just sleeping. Go along. Now, God, who created all these things, the dominions and principalities and powers, what Paul speaks on Ephesians again, the last chapter, he's the head, he's controlling every principality and power. He says, our war is not against flesh and blood. Remember, it's not a person that says this. It's a devil behind, or it's God behind. There's no gray area. People say there are gray areas. I want to see the gray areas. It's God or Satan, one of the two. If man goes the way that they go now, they have arrived to the point of no return. You know, they try to put as much money as they can now for the teenage crime. Have they achieved anything? Worse than ever before. Read the Newsweek about 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, you find out. He said, crime of the teenagers has gone up and will go up, it says. Nothing stops it. Why? God started drawing his spirit away. You leave the people, they are mentally, they are not right. They come to work, you don't know what you expect out of them. One day they smile at you, the next day they cuss you. You don't know what you expect because you live in this hour. God being an object of worship, his desire, his attributes to be manifested. If God has an attribute as a Savior, and he means he'll save you, and he remembers your sins no more, he wants this to be recognized. So here's the sinner of the human race. And God says, I die for you. There's no greater love than this. I think there's a song about that. There's no greater love than that, that God died for you and I. The only thing we don't understand about the love of God is selfiness. The same way that a teenager doesn't understand the mother's love because it's self in him. He doesn't care. He goes on. God wants to manifest his attributes. That's his love in him was the Father who had been, from the beginning, planning everything, what has to happen. He planned every mountain, everything. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to raise you above what you look, the little things, and see them, that all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. But this is what they did, just remember. It was done before the foundation of the world, and God knew it. Just worry first about yourself, where you stand. Satan can keep you busy so much, worrying about this and that. Look at the Word of God. It tells you what men are supposed to do, women are supposed to do, children are supposed to do, and do it. And say, Lord, give me the Spirit to fulfill it. Lord, you promised in the last days children will be a rebellion to the parents. Forgive me, Lord, I disobeyed my daddy, my mother. That's the Word of God. That's where we're supposed to be going back to. So God's now purpose was a mystery that he had in mind and how to accomplish it. He knew the whole thing from the beginning to the end. Listen how beautiful it is. God is working his way among his people in the Old Testament. God comes in flesh in the New Testament. He provides a sacrifice for redemption. He says, once, not twice. You don't have to bring any more a lamb here to be sacrificed. Not twice, once. Christ died. And then, everybody look at him, goes to the cross, and this happened and that happened. The people look around him, they don't understand. They're scared from the earthquake that happened, shook the earth. Oh, then he truly was the Son of Man. The Son of God. Truly, probably he was. Look what happened. A few hours later, they tried to bribe the guard of the tomb to lie about it. That doesn't last. That's not God's repentance. That's fear only. Fear can lead you to any place you can imagine. There are many people, but because of fear, they follow God. But don't follow God because of that. Follow him because of his love. So he was crucified. Nobody hears anything about it. A few days later, a bunch of radicals sit up there. They call them radicals in the day of Pentecost. They receive the Holy Ghost. What is that? One word against it. And how they characterize these people. Do they drink wine? What's the matter with them? You know what's the matter? Christ in them. They didn't know how to explain it. They were speaking, says, we hear them in our own dialects. How can we hear them? What they say? What happened? The Holy Ghost came in them. Why was the Holy Ghost in them? The Spirit of Christ in them. And from there on, we have the church to be formed. The church was not formed on the road to Damascus. Remember that by Paul. The church was formed the day of Pentecost. Paul, without Pentecost, he has no business. That's right. It was the Holy Ghost that came in Paul. And that Holy Ghost is, and who are you? I'm Jesus. Here is Paul now seeing that the attributes of God of the Old Testament, which is called the light, which is the Lord, he says, and who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. He puts the two together. He says, Christ in me, the hope of glory, he said. He runs, goes over for the revelation. He gets the revelation. He keeps on going from there. Today, we're reading the Word of God. In the last days, God permits again, repeats the same thing through apostles and prophets, opens his word for events relevant to my day, to your day. The people fail. Why? They took the Bible, threw it away, the two quotes, and they don't know what to look what happened. They don't know how to look for things. Because everything is in the Scriptures. And the only thing it's done is revealing the Scriptures. But the people will take and splice some quotes, go through the computer, and I believe that the computer was a blessing as a reference tool, but it's a curse to the pulpit, I believe, many times. Because preachers don't do their homework. They run a printout, and they read the printout. And God never ordained that. God never ordained that. And then they splice what they want. You're supposed to get the message to the Scriptures. If you can't do that, you don't preach another gospel but what was preached there. That's what I'm saying. Now God, that mystery was written in the Scripture, which makes the Bible the mystery of the revelation of Christ, which is God's through Christ be manifested. The Lord's willing, these all divine attributes that we dwell, it's manifested in the human nature. We cannot understand the superiority of Christ. Do you know that all things were created for you and me? Do you know the Scripture teaches that? The birds, the trees, the mountains, everything. Do you know the saints who see this creation? How it's going to be heaven? The same thing, by the absence of evil. You think of that. You leave the door open, nobody breaks it. Nothing touches. The songs of Zion are sung day and night. You're never tired. No sickness. No nothing. I'm ready to go. I want to get out of here. We don't realize that everything was made for you and I. That's our inheritance. He says, don't worry, I'll prepare a place for you. Oh, this rough life, try to work for the gospel, try to do everything that you can. Try to see if your book can come out, to send it out to see if somebody can read it. It's a big job. But God knows it before the foundation of the world. He appointed the right people to do the right job and nobody else. That's it. You can't disturb it. You don't have a choice because God is God. In closing now, because I come to that point, the Old Testament, God promises that you will dwell in the Ark, and now we go to the Ark of the Covenant. And when you start looking, what was the Ark of the Covenant? It was not just because God decided to put a tent there. No. Hebrews speaks about that. It's just an image to heavenly things. All these things have a meaning. And when we read Colossians and we go to the powers, things were created by Him and for Him. Sounds like, okay, He created for Himself. What about you and I being co-heirs with Him? You and I, we are co-heirs to the deed by two immutable things. Back in Hebrews speaks about that. When the testator die, then it comes to him and to me when he was resurrected. This is made for him, and we are co-heirs with him to inherit the promise. How it's going to be on the other side? I don't know. Can you figure it out? No. Because the human mind cannot contain it. That's all I can tell you. Because we live in such a world every day that our minds are so beat up that we cannot understand what's going to be on the other side. The thing to do now, let's press on the battle. Press on the battle and keep on going. We don't know when the Lord will permit to close these doors. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But I know this, everything is in His hands. Nothing is out of His hands. God knows everything. And I'm so thankful that He knows the beginning from the end. It's not only the knowledge of the beginning, it's to create everything to fit your plan from the beginning to the end. I heard people that they are trappers. They trap coyotes, they trap this, they trap that. But you know what's the greatest trapper that I know of? Jesus Christ. He trapped Satan on Calvary. He defeated him. He didn't even know what was going on. He got his own people screaming, crucify, crucify him, crucify him, crucify, screaming upon the cross. And all of a sudden they didn't realize that that sacrifice was the redemption and his defeat to eternity. Think God permits these things. But the scripture says they are coiners of Jesus. They stood far off watching what they are doing to Jesus. It pays to stay far off for what they are doing to Jesus today. I'm not talking about Methodist, Baptist, talking about everything, message and everything. He's outside of the door knocking, trying to get in. He cannot. Why? The people shut their hearts. They keep on marching to tribulation time. I pray so the Lord will help us. None of us will be left behind. That's what I pray. Amen? Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing from fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamp streaming clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Amen. Brother Gordon, would you start it?
The day of redemption
is near. Men's hearts are failing. How true, Lord, all over. Be filled with us, Spirit, your line streaming clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Brother Gordon, would you close us, brother?
Amen, Lord, we want to look up this morning.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, we want to find ourselves, Lord, in that number that we said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we just pray, Lord, this morning. Lord, your word this morning takes hold of our heart, Lord.
Jesus,
Lord, help us. Your Spirit, Lord, guide us.
Jesus.
Strengthen us, Lord, and minister to us, O God.
Jesus.
Lord, sanctify us, O God.
God.
Prepare us, Lord, for your return. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that Lord, as your word is said, we're washed by the waters of the word.
Yes, Lord God.
Lord, bless each heart, Lord, each situation, each family. Lord, we pray for the unsaved amongst us. Lord, we pray for those that are void of your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just pray to be with each one, meet each request.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, help us as we go in this way, Lord. Our souls are vexed by the filth that we face. Lord,
God,
this day, strengthen each one, encourage, oh God. Lord, we just ask thy blessing. In Jesus' name, and thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. May be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.